Welcome to the Untangling Life podcast with Rachel Wojo. I'm Rachel, and this podcast is where you'll find the space to clear your head and calm your heart. I'm so glad you're here. Make yourself at home. Hey there, thanks so much for joining me today. My name is Rachel Wojo, and I'm so glad to have you here. Today is a special episode of the Untangling Life podcast, as I am pausing to share a chapter from my book, One More Step, Finding Strength When You Feel Like Giving Up. This chapter is the permission to ache freely. So many times in our walks of loss and grief, we're told to suck it up, to keep moving. The rest of the world hardly pauses when we experience deep loss. And yet, sometimes it is simply impossible to keep going. The appropriate thing to do is actually pause and grieve. I am giving you today the permission to ache freely. And I want to share with a special episode of Chapter 1 of my book, One More Step, Finding Strength When You Feel Like Giving Up. Tension forced an ache into my entire body as I curled into a tight ball on the bed. Mounting circumstances seemed too much for my mind to continue functioning, and unfathomable stress choked every inch of my being. Every cell throbbed, pressing in my eyelids and numbing my lips. I had stood at my mother's graveside 3 weeks ago. Shouldn't the overwhelming grief subside soon? How could sorrow envelop someone to the point of being unable to perform simple tasks? I used every ounce of my strength I possessed merely to get out of bed. I felt panicked by everyday tasks of preparing for work and caring for my family. The personal life storms I had endured for months relentlessly flooded my mind. On top of my mother's death, other difficult circumstances had crashed over me for the last 14 months. I didn't think I would be able to continue to hold up. It was all too much. No tears remained to trace their familiar path down my cheeks, but I sobbed on without them. Life hadn't always been this difficult. As a child, I never experienced severe personal failure. I grew up in a wonderful Christian home, and my parents ensured that our family was faithful to church. I attended Christian school and then Christian college, and after I graduated, I completed the cycle of Christian education by teaching in a Christian school. My future husband was a preacher boy, and when we married, the plan was that he would take a youth pastor position wherever God led. Life as an adult offered a wonderful beginning, full of glorious hopes and beautiful dreams. But I soon discovered that no one is exempt from problems, and my perfect beginning didn't last long. Things changed drastically in a few short years. I found myself in a place I never dreamed I would be, divorced and a single mom of a child with special needs. Every day for months, I felt as though I walked in a fog. In the midst of my painful circumstances, I still had to maintain a house, care for my little girl, and work a full-time job. I had to figure out details like how to pay for childcare and which facility would best care for my daughter while I was at work. We lived on a very tight budget, yet I still couldn't pay all the bills. It seemed that people at church weren't quite sure how to handle my divorce and shamed cloak my soul as I felt their disappointment. Maybe folks didn't know what to say to me at church, but I sensed that they gossiped behind my back. I chose to find a new church and even new friends, and I began to rethink my purpose in life and redefine my faith. I questioned what I was living for. What did God want to do with a divorced single mom of a child with special needs?
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now, 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
3 weeks after I said goodbye to my mom, I felt as the world was spinning, but I wasn't physically dizzy. Have you ever been there when the storm in your heart transferred into your head and nothing in life makes sense? I know you have. Every person on earth experiences difficult times at some point or another in this journey called life. Sometimes the difficulties simply add up. 2 + 2 = 4, and before you can blink, a pile of problems results. Other times the difficulties expand far faster than addition problems. Suddenly the issues seem to multiply exponentially. Before you know it, the feeling of wanting to give up has saturated your spirit, and you feel like you can't even take one more step. You have lost every ounce of strength in your mind, body, and spirit. Whether it's unemployment, loss, unfulfilled dreams, marital issues, financial struggles, infertility, family heartaches, or disease, the list can go on and on. The issues often lead to the same feeling, wanting to quit, stop trying, stop pursuing, stop everything. No one begins a journey and hopes it will end before they get too far down the path. The roads of life don't begin with detour signs, and people don't start with the feeling of wanting to give up. Not one person sets goals because she wants to fail. The beginning of a journey usually appears to be streamlined. We calculate the route from point A to point B and draw plans to connect our dreams with real life. We want to finish strong, but circumstances creep in, people change, and negative feelings emerge. I thought no crying was allowed. When I first began to experience extremely difficult life circumstances, like disaster, divorce, disease, and death, I started to read the Book of Psalms on a regular basis. You know that many of the Psalms are songs of praise and adoration. Praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, praise him in the heavens, praise him in the heights. These were the Psalms I memorized in Christian school and church. They are good and holy and honorable. They resound with the goodness of God and his glory. The Psalms give people a sense of joy and peace, right? Surely their inclusion in the Bible was intended to help us praise the Lord, and to think otherwise would be theologically unsound. Am I right? Oh, I was so wrong about this. In all my years of growing up in God's Word, I don't remember ever reading Psalm 88. This particular psalm wasn't one on the Christian education memorization list, and I sure wish it had been. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. My soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are caught off from your hand. You've put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. Right in the middle of the Book of Psalms, my soul awoke to a different tune than I had anticipated in this epic musical collection. That day was a new one for me, all because I discovered the Bible actually contains a sad song, actually many of them, and not just any sad song, but a song that sounded as though I could have penned it. The entire melancholy psalm contained no praise, only heartache. The psalmist's expression leaked desperation and depression. He oozed sorrow over uncontrollable circumstances. Could it be that God placed this sad song in the middle of the Bible to let people like me know that it's okay to ache with the sadness and hardness of this world? That it's good to let God know we're struggling and can't understand why the pit is so deep? That we don't have to pretend everything is perfect all the time and it's okay to express negative emotions? As a child, I experienced difficulty in expressing myself, especially when things happened outside of my control. Melancholy was my middle name. When my passionate spirit once exhibited itself, one of my pastors declared, "Rachel, you're like the little girl with the little curl. When she was good, she was very good, and when she was bad, she was horrid. I never forgot his words because I didn't want to be horrid. I just didn't know how to express what I was feeling. Once I did begin to express any negative feelings, I felt that my expression was frowned on. Psalm 88 seemed to be a psalm written just for me, the girl who desperately wanted to be good, but often felt horrid, even with Jesus living in her heart. This psalm echoed much of my heart's cry. God, I need you. I need you to tell me why all these things are happening to me and why I have to go through these burdens. I feel like I'm in hell, Lord. Take me out of this crazy mindset and wild circumstances. Well, thankfully, I didn't stay there in that mindset. This is the end of where I will read from Permission to Ache Freely, chapter 1 of my book, One More Step. But I would love for you to pick up with me next week as I finish the last few pages of chapter 1. I will put the link to the show notes in a resource that I think you'll find very helpful. You can download the first chapter of One More Step, Permission to Ache Freely, completely by yourself and read it for yourself. And that way, if you like the book, you will also be provided with a link to purchase the book. Thanks so much for listening in today. I pray that this episode so far has encouraged your heart. And while we left on a bit of a cliffhanger with me praying that I felt like I was in hell, I know you have experienced the same. Sometimes our circumstances so far outside of control make us feel like we just have no other recourse other than to go crazy. But I kindly whisper in your ear right now, when things seem out of control, God is still in control, and I'm so thankful for this. Enjoy the first chapter of One More Step, and I'll see you next week with the last few pages. Until next time, God sees you and knows your need.
Thank you for listening to the Untangling Life podcast with Rachel Wojo. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, be sure to subscribe. For show notes and free resources, visit rachelwojo.com. See you again soon.
Has fear stolen your peace? I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, helping you fight your fears and grow your faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.